Hey, Stu. It's a Friday podcast.
Yes.
And we've got Joe Biden talking about, thank goodness, reading some record players back in the home.
I love records.
Me too, and we talk about that and so much more with some of our friends, Mr. Bill O'Reilly. And Brad Meltzer, that up-and-coming young whippersnapper, talks about things and...
We basically talk about the debate today and what happened and what is happening with the Democratic Party. But we start with records and Joe Biden on today's podcast.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
So, Stu, you know, I'm going to say this, and this is going to be redundant for you, because I'm going to play some clips from the...
I've heard all these clips already.
Yeah, you saw it last night.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, I
guess... you weren't watching football last night, were you?
Was there a game?
I don't know.
Yeah, I wouldn't know. I don't like sports.
Yeah, and I wasn't at a parent-teacher conference last night either, begging to go.
This is the first time.
First time ever. Mm-hmm. Can I go talk to your teachers instead? So we were going to play a couple of clips for you. Now, this is one of many, but I want to start with this one. This is Joe Biden talking about how the government really can partner with parents to help them raise their kids. Listen. This is Biden confused about TV.
We bring social workers into homes of parents to help them deal with how to raise their children. It's not that they don't want to help. They don't know quite what to do. Play the radio. Make sure the television, make sure you have the record player on at night. The phone. Make sure the kids hear words.
What? Now, hang on just a second. I just want to, just to make Joe Biden feel comfortable, I have an old record player here. And, it's getting up to speed. Mm-hmm. Okay, so anyway.
Good God, are we in The Shining right now?
Now it's up to speed. Yeah, so...
Terrifying.
Isn't that the way your record player sounds?
Yeah.
I mean... Joe Biden. Oh, geez, hang on. See, kids, you all know that. There, okay. So, you know, you got to have the record player going.
This is the part where Jack Nicholson's at a really nice party, right?
It is kind of freaky, isn't
it?
Yeah.
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 And this
well,
is
I
like...
can turn it down. You know, it has volume control.
Yeah.
There.
Oh, there's like a little...
You just close the front of it, and that's the volume. Want it louder? I'll open it up or close
it. Amazing.
That's your volume control. It's fantastic. So, Joe Biden, when was the last time you heard anyone say, you know, kids just don't hear enough words, so you got to make sure the parents have the record player on?
It's been a while since I've heard that sentence attempted.
I have to tell you, I don't think... I've ever heard that sentence.
No.
Even growing up at a time where there were record players, I don't remember anybody's advice, keep the record player on.
Yeah, I don't remember that either. It's especially weird how he came to it. Because he came to it not from, I would have assumed he said record player. I mean, you know, TV.
No.
He actually went TV and then corrected it to record player.
And then he went the phone, and then he realized, no, the phone wouldn't work. I mean, listen to this again. This is really not good.
We bring social workers into homes of parents to help them deal with how to raise their children. It's not that they don't want to help. They don't know quite what to do. Play the radio. Make sure the television, make sure you have the record player on at night.
Oh, my.
The phone. Make sure the kids hear words.
Wow.
First of all, can we also step back and realize he's like talking about social workers coming into your home to help you raise your kids? which is like the policy there seems questionable.
Well, especially if they're saying, turn on the radio.
Turn on. Where's the record player?
You kids nowadays, you don't understand. Turn on the radio. I mean, radio is even not the future. I hate to say it as a national broadcaster, but it shows how out of touch he is. Radio, no television. Record players, put on the record player. I tell you what, Edison's got one of these things you crank all around. You put a little wax cylinder in there. And maybe you kids have wax in their ears. Where are my shoes? I mean, he is out.
I think what he's actually trying to refer to there is there's some research that shows that, you know, kids perform better later in life if their parents read to them, if they're hearing conversations, if they're hearing words, that, you know, their vocabularies are better later in life. But he didn't nail that.
No. Okay. How about this one? When Biden said, let's do I'm the vice president. Do we have that one?
Let's put pressure on them to pass the Violence Against Women Act now.
You didn't answer the question. Did you make a mistake with those deportations?
The president did the best thing that was able to be done at the time.
How about you?
I'm the vice president of the United States.
Secretary Castro.
Wait. I mean, I don't know. On that one.
Okay.
In that he's talking about a scenario.
Okay.
And at that time, he was the vice president.
All right.
I can't kill him on that one.
Well, he did call Bernie Sanders the president last night.
He keeps doing that. That's a weird one. He called Cory Booker the president last time, right?
Right. Now, here's Castro confronting him on this. Low blow or the right thing to do? Listen to this.
They wouldn't have to buy in. That's a big difference because Barack Obama's vision was not to leave 10 million people uncovered. He wanted every single person in this country covered. My plan would do that. Your plan would not.
They do not have to buy in. They do not have to buy in.
You just said that. You just said that 2 minutes ago. You just said 2 minutes ago that they would have to buy in. You said they would have to buy in.
Would not have to buy in. If she qualifies for Medicaid,
are you forgetting what you said 2 minutes ago?
Be in for it.
You said just 2 minutes ago? I mean, I can't believe that you said 2 minutes ago that they had to buy in, and now you're saying they don't have to buy. You're forgetting that.
I said your grandmother has no money.
We need a healthcare system.
You're automatically enrolled.
Automatically enrolls people regardless of whether they choose to opt in or not. I'm fulfilling the legacy of Barack Obama, and you're not.
I'll be a surprise to him.
That's actually a solid line by Biden at the end. The one thing I did take out of this debate is that Julian Castro is a jerk.
Jerk. He didn't help himself with that at all.
Awful guy.
Yeah.
I mean, here's a guy who is he's a zilch in the world.
Mm-hmm.
He's a zilch.
Mm-hmm.
And he is plucked by Obama Biden into a prime role in the administration for no reason other than to improve his prospects at future election. And how does he pay these guys back? He goes on stage. It's the second time he's done it. He tries to go after Biden because he's just trying to become the vice president under Warren. Like he believes Warren Castro is a thing.
He's doing what Biden used to do.
Yeah.
When he wanted to be vice president, he was the president's attack dog.
And that is what he's doing for Warren right now. So Warren doesn't have to do it. But
Correct. But is it legitimate to point out, wait a minute, are you forgetting?
Because I didn't remember him saying that. I think Biden was right on the point, wasn't he? I mean, we'll have to go back and listen to the audio.
I'd have to have actually not been an apparent teacher.
Right. And and I remember this play. I remember, this because it was a 3-yard run.
Right. We have Kevin Ryan on now with us. Kevin is was down in Houston. Are you still in Houston or are you back yet?
I'm still in Houston.
Okay. Kevin, how was it in the debate hall itself? What did you see? What stuck out to you?
So I was actually in the media. So all the media, for the most part, were in a gymnasium that was like right around the corner. And it actually worked out in a pretty cool way because I was able to gauge the way the media reacted to what was going on in the auditorium. And there were a lot of disparities. There were a few moments like when Yang saying about when he said, I'm Asian, so I know a lot of doctors. The audience didn't really react at all. The media surprisingly was like cracking up. They thought it was really funny.
Really? Because I've seen a lot of criticism on that one, saying that he was heightening stereotypes. And it's like, if you're going to have a stereotype, being a doctor is not the worst one. I mean,
you know what? You know what? It's like, that just coming from a guy who's got a bunch of good-looking kids and very successful and uber smart
and healing people
and healing.
People. We got those Asians this time.
I think at the end of the day, Biden was the winner of that debate.
And even that was with all of the, I mean, doesn't he look? Like maybe he doesn't have a grip on at least his
anything.
Yeah,
for sure. And there were a few moments during his gaffes when there was like chatter through the room, like his record player statement.
Yeah,
all you could hear after that was like everybody in the room's like, why is he talking about record players?
it's interesting with Biden in that he has a stamina issue, I would say, where he was good for the first half hour or so.
And
that's the part that most people watch.
You know, I'm not sure that that's a good thing, though, for the president.
No, it's a terrible
thing. I'm good for 30 minutes a day.
Yeah. Maybe they'll do less damage if he's only there for 30 minutes a day. It could be an upside of Biden from our perspective. But I think like he winds up, the longer these things go, he can't avoid the go to Joe30330.com.
Oh, sure.
And he just can't. He eventually will get himself caught in sort of that, you know, word barrage that he can't sort out. But at the beginning, he was relatively focused and did okay. And I don't think, did you, I didn't get the idea that there was a huge loser or winner. Nothing changed in the race from this debate. Was that your perspective, Kevin?
I think Biden got lucky that Castro obviously drank too much Red Bull before the debate and was just so salty.
Mm.
Because nobody liked his attack on Biden. It just seemed kind of unnecessarily nasty.
Especially coming from him.
Was he right about the... you just said that you'd have to sign up.
He wasn't right. No,
he was not right.
Actually, wrong. No.
Oh, jeez.
I know. If you're going to attack someone like that, at least have the facts.
Yeah.
Correct.
I mean, that's a bad attack to launch if you're not right. Let me ask you this: what was anyone's reaction to Biden saying, "Hey, we didn't put kids in cages"?
I didn't get a reaction out of that at all. It was fascinating to see this, and one way I saw it was with Klobuchar. Every time Klobuchar spoke, the whole media room was like, oh, thank God, we have a break now. So they would just like chat with their neighbors. People would go get a drink or food.
Wow.
They did not care about anything she said at all.
That's interesting, too, because she had a pretty good debate. It was definitely her best one so far.
Definitely. She had some canned line, like the Houston, we have a problem thing. Just like people, the whole room was like, oh, come on.
Yeah, that's a groaner. That is a groaner. I mean, come on. I know you're in Houston. You know the name of the city.
I'll be back.
Yeah.
Okay. That's weird.
I mean, you could tell. And this was the thing with Castro. Castro went into that debate, whether he had a senior moment or not, he was going to say, have you forgotten what you said 2 minutes ago? He knew he was going to say it. He had it planned. He was waiting to bring it out. He thought he had a good opportunity. He blew that opportunity, and he did it in a way that now everybody hates him, which they should, because he just seems like a jerk. I mean, he just seems like a jerk.
How about the reaction with Elizabeth Warren from the press?
I mean, they seem to really like her, which I still don't completely understand myself.
By the way, we're talking to Kevin Ryan. He's a writer for glenbeck.com and also theblaze.com.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. So you were talking about Elizabeth Warren.
So after the debates, all the candidates went over to the media center.
Mm-hmm.
All the candidates, except for Biden, by the way, for whatever reason. But it was a good gauge of who the media are really, really kind of obsessed with or a big fan of, because they would follow around. They would basically mob the candidates who they really like. And they were definitely following Warren around, and they were following Harris around, which surprised me, because every time she spoke, the whole room just completely cringed.
Yeah, she did not have a good debate. She's struggling. I mean, she's struggling to recapture her magic from debate one. And she seems to go into these things with these ideas, you know, a lot of canned lines. I mean, she's not helping herself right now. I did see they did mob her, though. Kevin had sent some pictures, and there were reporters all over her. You know, Biden's interesting, though. I mean, there's a good strategic argument to say Biden doesn't have to do anything to win this nomination. He just has to not screw it up. So he comes out and he has a good first half hour and kind of sits back and you know, hopefully people tuned out by the time he started talking about record players. And then why go to the spin room where you might have another bad moment, right? What's the point? He's already winning by, you know, 10 points or 8 points or 15 points, depending on the poll.
What was the reaction? Let me play Beto Hell Yes.
Oh, he's agonizing.
I want to hear the press room reaction to this.
The high impact, high velocity round, when it hits your body, shreds everything inside of your body, because it was designed to do that, so that you would bleed to death on a battlefield and not be able to get up and kill one of our soldiers. When we see that being used against children, and in Odessa, I met the mother of a 15-year-old girl who was shot by an AR-15. Mm-hmm. And that mother watched her bleed to death over the course of an hour because so many other people were shot by that AR-15 in Odessa and Midland. There weren't enough ambulances to get to them in time. Hell yes, we're going to take your AR-15, your AK-47. We're not going to allow it to be used against our fellow Americans anymore.
You know, what an interesting... trick he did, shell game of look at these bullets, and they bled to death because there weren't enough ambulances. It wasn't the bullet, it wasn't the AR-15. The press loved that, I'm guessing.
There was really no reaction, and I think the reason why is because they could see what he was getting at.
Yeah.
And it wasn't really there was no surprise there.
Yeah, we've been previewing this for a few days.
Was a surprise, however, that no one took the middle ground on guns last night. Not a single Democrat.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
The best of the Glenn Beck Program.
Hey, it's Glenn, and if you like what you hear on the program, you should check out Pat Gray Unleashed. His podcast is available wherever you download your favorite podcast. Bill O'Reilly, let's start first of all by reminding you that his new book, The United States of Trump, is just a few days away. I have read it cover to cover. It is excellent. And it's how the president really sees America. It's released September 24th. I do expect some sort of a kickback for all of this. It's The United States of Trump by Bill O'Reilly. Order your copy today. Bill, let's talk about the amazing debate last night. Who do you want to start with?
Now, why would you say the debate was amazing?
Because I don't think I have ever seen anything like it on a couple of fronts. First of all, there wasn't a single candidate that said, well, now, wait a minute. I grew up in a hunting family. They all now are just saying, yeah, we're going to come take your guns. And we don't have a problem saying we're going to come take your guns. The mask is fully off. I've never seen a candidate who is leading the polls who something medically is truly wrong with him. And I think it's the aneurysms that he has had. He just does not have a command of the language anymore. He gets confused fairly easily. And it's a little terrifying in a world where you have to be, you know, on your game more than 30 minutes a day.
Okay. Biden is befuddled. There's no question about that. I thought he had a pretty eloquent closing statement, although there was nobody left to watch. Everybody had passed out long before that, about the trials in his life and that purpose got him through that. I thought that was really good. So I don't think he's totally, you know,
Bill,
at the retirement home yet.
Okay, hang on. I agree with you. And I think, let me just go through a list. Stu, give me the list of what is important to the Democratic voters today. When you look and you ask them to rank what's really important to them today, listen to this list, Bill.
Yeah, number one by a wide margin is ability to beat Donald Trump. 39.6% of voters said the top priority was beating Donald Trump.
Top priority for 40%. 40%.
And that's significant because the second place is healthcare at 9.9%.
Third?
Yep, third, the economy at 8%, wealth and income inequality 8%. Climate change, 7%. Gun policy, 4%. Racism, 3%.
I mean, listen, their message is all geared in the 7 to 5%. And the reason why Biden is doing well is because people just think that he'll do well against Donald Trump. That's it. That's why the press is not...
Biden's going to run on the Barack Obama nostalgia tour. That you clear last night that Biden didn't really have any solution to any problems. And he was the only one who basically said that Beto O'Rourke and the rest of them were violating the Constitution. You're not going to be able to seize anything by executive order. The Congress makes the laws. So you can't do that. That seemed to startle Mr. O'Rourke, who just got through blaming the massacre in El Paso on President Trump. You know, he came across as a clown.
Beto?
I guess maybe the clown in that movie you want to go see.
Yeah,
I'm not sure. But
yeah.
He came across as a clown. It was just, come on, is this a burlesque skit? What is this? I mean, the guy doesn't seem to have any grasp of how the country runs. I'm going to do it. No, no, you're not. And Biden actually said that and got jeered for doing it. So basically how I see this thing is it was a very good night for Donald Trump. Okay, because even though the president continues to shoot himself in every toe and finger he has by his lack of self-discipline, the alternative...
Can I just stop you?
What?
How do you, anyone who says anything like that, Donald Trump says, you're a loser. You're a two-time loser. You're a hundredfold loser. And yet you are invited to write a book about him. He invites you to come.
He invited me to write the book, Beck.
No.
And you're doing a Larry King imitation.
No. Wait. Do you think if I said those words and only those words, he would say, yeah, you want to write a book? Okay, come on Air Force One. I'll spend the time.
No choice in the matter. I was writing a book whether I was on Air Force One or not.
I know that, but usually it's you'd write a book after saying something like that, and he'd be like, he's a hack. There's nothing to this book. He actually participated with you on this. He actually answered some of your questions.
I'm telling the truth about the president of the United States. I'm not accusing him of doing anything heinous. I'm saying he lacks self-discipline when somebody tees him off.
Yeah, I know.
All right,
my point.
It hurts him.
I know.
It hurts him and the country.
I know.
Right. So that's in the book.
Right. I know.
And then I explain how that happened to him.
Yes.
How that he all evolved. But let's get back to he was the big winner last night. So what you have is you've got a field of Democrats who basically are looking at the camera and saying, I'm going to spend trillions of dollars, even though we have a $22 trillion debt right now, I'm going to add maybe $30 trillion more to save your life from climate change. And then Rod Serling goes, you're traveling in another dimension. And I'm saying to myself, we're true, which it isn't, all right? We're not dying in 10 or 20 or 30 years unless we have to listen to Beto O'Rourke every day. Oh. Then we'll all commit suicide.
Well, that's not going to happen. So tell me about your thoughts are on Elizabeth Warren. I know you wrote an op-ed on her this week.
Yes, called The Con, C-O-N, posted right now on BillO'Reilly.com. Dangerous woman. And she's dangerous because she comes across as a hip granny. All right? She's got the glasses, the little bob. And then kids go, oh, let's go trick-or-treating to Mrs. Warren's house. Yeah. And then they do, and she takes their stuff. She takes the candy away from them. All right? This is a woman who does not respect private property. That's the headline. Now, twice last night, she was asked direct questions. One by Jorge Ramos. Jorge goes, what would you do, Senator Warren, if a person overstayed his or her visa in the United States? What would you do? Warren didn't even come close to answering the question. Then the next question, I don't even know what's from.
You're breaking up.
Would you raise taxes on American middle class families to pay for your massive health care giveaway?
Here's Stephanopoulos. Let's play that. Here's Stephanopoulos asking her that and her answer. Warren doesn't say taxes will go up.
Direct question. You said middle class families are going to pay less, but will middle class taxes go up to pay for the program? I know you believe that the deductibles and the premiums will go down. Will middle class taxes go up? Will private insurance be eliminated?
Look, what families have to deal with is cost, total cost. That's what they have to deal with. And understand, families are paying for their health care today. Families pay every time an insurance company says, sorry, you can't see that specialist.
Well, she is
every time an insurance company says, sorry, that doctor is out of network. Sorry, we are not covering that prescription. Families
like
are paying every time they don't get a prescription filled because they can't pay for it. They don't have a lump checked out because they can't afford the copay. What we're talking about here is what's going to happen in families' pockets, what's going to happen in their budgets. And the answer is on Medicare for All, costs are going to go up for wealthier individuals and costs are going to go up for giant corporations. But for hardworking families across this country, costs are going to go down. And that's how it should work under Medicare for All in our health care
system. So cost will go down. She didn't say that taxes wouldn't go up. She said costs will go down. But that's what Barack Obama said, that, you know, this system of Obamacare would reduce things by $2,500 for the average family, which is a total and complete lie.
Here's the con. Okay. Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, and all the rest of the Merry Socialist band somehow believe that they can go into corporate America and demand 40 to 50% of their profits be given to the federal government. They believe they can do that. What would happen would be all of those corporations would leave the country and set up overseas, just as they had under Barack Obama. Trump brought them back by cutting the corporate income rates. That's why we have a robust economy. People like me and you, Beck, that have assets, I'm not going to sit here and allow Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders to seize my private property, which has already been taxed. I'm going to move it out of here. So the flight capital between corporations and affluent Americans would lead to a depression in this country.
You are,
that's the con.
You are exactly right. Now, I want you to take this, hold that thought for a minute, because I want to build on that and get your opinion, because you are spot on, exactly right. A depression will happen if socialists come in and start to say, we're going to tax you to death and we're going to take the wealth that you have already been taxed on and double tax it as well. We're going to move from a free market to a controlled and planned economy. it will collapse. Okay, Bill, I want to ask you a series of questions here, and I'll get to my theory, and then I really want to hear your opinion of it. One, if the economy goes south, Trump loses, yes or no? I mean, if it really goes
harder
south.
For him, yeah. The Democrats have two issues that resonate.
Mm-hmm.
The health care that we just discussed.
Yep.
And the guns that you just discussed.
Yep.
Both are attractive to a fairly large segment of the American population. Trump can get around that if the economy is robust, because the Republicans really haven't come up with any health care relief.
Nope.
Okay? They don't have anything.
Nope.
On the gun front, I do expect they'll make a few attempts to control maniacs from mm-hmm. getting heavy weaponry. But it'll take a while, and it's, you know, it's not.
Yeah. It's there's nothing exciting except we are freeing the American people, and the American people are doing better than they have for a long, long time.
That's
lowest
right.
unemployment rate for blacks in history, all of that stuff, correct?
Yes, but also Donald Trump is a big opportunity now to go out and stop with the small ball. And go to the big picture and say, look, your freedom is important to me, the president. I'm the president. And your freedom is important. And if you look at what this Democratic Party really wants, it's an erosion of freedom on every front. I just have a new slogan on BillO'Reilly.com. It used to be, take your country back. I've changed it to fight for your freedom. Because the far left in this country, which includes 90% of the media, wants to erode personal freedoms, not only in guns, but on every level, every level. And if Trump can get that across, he'll be reelected. But I'm not sure he can.
Okay. So I just want to get a yes or no, really a yes or no question. Trump will have a very difficult time if the economy tanks.
Yes, he has a difficult time.
There is a load of investment coming from overseas right now. Money is pounding into our treasury and also into Wall Street because we're the only place that's really performing because of American freedom. Yes or no?
Not the only place, but one of the few
places on
earth where you can make money is America.
Do you agree that companies and the banks... If somebody says, I'm going to change the free market system to more of a planned economy, and, oh, by the way, I'm going to break up all these banks, that would cause a significant impact on what those companies do with their money. And if they thought that person might win, that they would go into, kind of a protection position, which would not be good for the stocks and companies.
Flight of capital and hoarding of profits will lead to unemployment tripling.
Correct. So don't the Democrats have a reason to hire somebody? I mean, you want to talk about a short walk or a long walk on a short pier to socialism by just really spooking the markets, whoever that person is. Elizabeth Warren is an easier candidate perhaps to defeat, but she will spook the markets and companies so much that it could really impact the economy, which would really hurt Donald Trump, because she'll blame it on him, she'll blame it on capitalism and everything else, when indeed it would be a reaction to her.
I don't believe she has that kind of power.
Even if she is the candidate?
No.
Wow.
I think that the smart money will say she has no chance. She's George McGovern.
Mm. That would be great.
Well, I know Aunt Mimi will vote for her, but I don't know too many other people who actually are working for a living that are supporting Elizabeth Warren.
I don't know, outside
of Cambridge, Massachusetts, and Beverly Hills, California, the regular folks... they don't want a socialist in there. They just don't.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Hey, it's Glenn, and if you like what you hear on the program, you should check out Pat Gray Unleashed. His podcast is available wherever you download your favorite podcast. So I want to bring Darren and Gabrielle. Darren is from Florida. Hello, Darren. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Hey, good, good. Did you enjoy yourself last night?
I couldn't put it into words.
Yeah, right, right, right. $100 was not enough, was it?
No.
Yeah, it wasn't. Gabrielle is in Pennsylvania, and Gabrielle, you're a student, right?
I just graduated, sir, from Grove City College.
Okay, and you're in Pennsylvania, and what do you want to do with your life again?
Well, I am trying to create a career in media and public and political education. So I want to, although I want to pursue graduate study, I currently am the editor-in-chief of the Unvarnished blog, where I'm trying to share some strong and solid political analysis you can trust, sir. Uh-huh.
Okay. So take a guess, Stu, which one of these gave us one sheet of analysis and the other one gave me four pages of very comprehensive notes, including a grading system in four different categories for each of them, and a three-page editorial.
I'm on the fence on this one. I don't know. It's very difficult to
decipher.
Darren,
guess which one is you.
I'm guessing I gave you the summary.
Yeah, you gave us the one-page summary. And kids, I just want you to know, this is the way the world works. Darren is a man, so he's going to make $100. Gabrielle is a woman. We're paying her $76.
Even after this workload.
Even after all of the, even after all this work. Okay, so let me go back and forth with both of you. First of all, was there a winner in your eyes if you were a Democrat watching this? Let's start with Darren, and then I'll go to you, Gabrielle.
I did not see a clear winner.
Okay, Gabrielle.
I agree with Darren. I didn't see a clear winner. However, the person who I thought lost the least was Elizabeth Warren.
Okay. Let's go back and forth. Tell me your analysis, starting with Darren, on Biden last night. What'd you think?
Other than the one comment where he kind of confused me about the record player and everything, I thought he, pretty much the whole night, he had really good energy, good passion, and he seemed to do a lot better when responding to attacks directly to him.
And Gabrielle, I've read your four pages. You disagree?
Yes, sir, I do. I do not believe he handled himself well under the attacks from Julian Castro. I think he made at least one blunder every time he spoke, and I also didn't appreciate how when the moderators tried to cut him off, everybody else on the stage continued with their point and finished their thought, where Biden just abruptly ended. I think that hurt him significantly.
So do either of you think that his I say this with the knowledge that he has had two aneurysms. One, they did not think he'd be able to speak again, and it's happened recently. They had to cut his head open, and they didn't think he would have the ability to speak. He has recovered. I don't think that he's senile. I think he's had an aneurysm, and it has affected his speech center. Would either of you think that he's close, if he was in your family, to the family saying, "Hey, Grandpa, we got to take the keys from the car, from you on the car"? Darren.
I have it just kind of baked into his personality that, being his age, that's the way it's going to be. But yes, I would have some concerns. Yeah.
Gabrielle?
I definitely would have some concerns. I think Joe Biden is the lovable grandpa of the bunch, and that it would be, "Hey, Grandpa, let me drive you instead of you driving yourself." I don't think he's really capable of handling himself any longer in the policy space.
Okay, so tell me about, let's go to Kamala Harris. How did she do? Darren first.
She, way too many zingers, be it against Trump or just in general. But she did direct her attacks more so specifically at Trump as opposed to the rest of the Democratic field.
And Gabrielle?
I agree with Darren that she did make herself very strongly anti-Trump. However, I don't think she did a decent enough job in defining herself as what she is for. All the other candidates seemed to define their platforms, but where Harris, it just made her platform solely anti-Trump.
So let me go to the attack on Biden and your reaction to this attack from Julian Castro. Play the audio.
They wouldn't
please.
Have to buy in. That's a big difference because Barack Obama's vision was not to leave 10 million people uncovered. He wanted every single person in this country covered. My plan would do that. Your plan would not.
They do not have to buy in. They do not have to buy in.
You just said that. You just said that 2 minutes ago. You just said 2 minutes ago that they would have to buy in. You said they would have to buy in.
Have to buy in if she qualifies for Medicaid.
Are you forgetting what you said 2 minutes ago?
Be in for it.
Are you forgetting already what you said just 2 minutes ago? I can't believe.
Then he looks to Bernie Sanders and says, "What did he say?"
That they had to buy in, and now you're saying they don't have to buy. You're forgetting that.
So I think this makes Castro absolutely toxic. Agree or disagree?
I agree.
100% agree.
Did not make him come off very good, making Biden enemy number one.
Yeah. And let me go to another crowd pleaser, if you will. Let's go to Beto, where Beto was talking about, you know, confiscation of guns. Here's this moment.
The high impact, high velocity round, when it hits your body, shreds everything inside of your body because it was designed to do that so that you would bleed to death on a battlefield and not be able to get up and kill one of our soldiers. When we see that being used against children, and in Odessa, I met the mother of a 15-year-old girl who was shot by an AR-15. Mm-hmm. And that mother watched her bleed to death over the course of an hour because so many other people were shot by that AR-15 in Odessa and Midland. There weren't enough ambulances to get to them in time. Hell yes, we're going to take your AR-15, your AK-47. We're not going to allow it to be used against our fellow Americans anymore.
Darren, your thought on that?
I just thought it was just red meat, throwing it out there for everybody.
Do you think he doesn't mean it?
Oh, yeah, he absolutely means it. I don't think he would be able to do it initially. But I think that's just his main focus, his main point for the whole night, and just kind of threw that out there.
How do you think there wasn't a single person really on the stage that disagreed with that in spirit. Nobody was the, you know, reasonable Democrat saying, hey, you know, I'm a member of the NRA or my dad was. And there was no happy gun talk that usually preceded stuff like this. Nobody was saying, we're not going to come for your guns. How did that play, do you think, Darren?
I just think they're, you know, just the Overton window. Just keep going further and further and take a little bit progressively.
Gabrielle, your thoughts?
Well, I think it was very interesting that when it was in response to Kamala Harris's decision to support a mandatory buyback of assault weapons via executive order, Biden came out saying can't do that constitutionally. It was very interesting to see how quickly he was shut down, not only by the other candidates, but also by the moderators. I think that speaks just to the radicalism of the entire Democratic Party right now.
Including the press. One last thought. Is there anyone that you saw last night and you had a gun to your head and you had to vote for one of them? Who do you think could do the least amount of damage?
Wow. I'm thinking maybe Pete Buttigieg.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I definitely don't agree with all of his policies, but I think it would be the least worst policymaker.
And Gabrielle?
I would have to say Andrew Yang. I don't know necessarily enough about him. However, he seemed definitely to be the only candidate on that stage who supported any type of entrepreneurial values, any type of capitalist values. You could see that incorporated into a variety of elements of his platform. So as a capitalist, I would have to vote Andrew Yang.
Yeah, I will tell you, Andrew Yang, they laughed at him on his closing where he was saying, I'm going to give $1,000 a month to 12 people. And if you think you can control your life better, tell me why you think this $1,000. And what he's doing is he's coming up with universal basic income, which doesn't work. They test it over and over and over again, and it just doesn't work. But he was laughed at that. And what he was saying was really kind of good. You are responsible for your own life. While he was touting universal basic income, he was saying, we've got to get this government back in the hands of the people. One last, opposite, who's the most dangerous?
I would say Bernie.
Definitely Bernie, isn't it?
Gabrielle?
Ideologically, I would agree with Darren that Bernie Sanders is the worst. However, in terms of who has the actual chance to win, I think Elizabeth Warren is the most dangerous. She has very similar views to Sanders. However, she is in a package that can appeal to a large section of the American public.
Gabrielle and Darren, thank you so much. You guys are both great, and I appreciate it. Do we have the picture of Gabrielle's campaign headquarters? Did we get that picture, Bowie? Yeah, here she is. Look at this. Here's Darren's. We have that picture. Yeah, there's Darren's. It's a lazy boy. Guys, thank you. We're gonna.
Hey, can we post your notes and stuff on glenbeck.com?
Absolutely, please do.
Darren.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, can we do that?
Yeah.
Are you even listening to us anymore?
I am listening, and yes, you can post.
Yeah, okay, good. Okay. Thanks, guys. We really appreciate it.
The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.